Thanks for listening to this podcast of Trending with Timmeri from the Relevant Radio app. Anything you share in terms of episodes, whether it's texting it to a friend, posting on social media, helps to build up the kingdom for God, to help confront the challenging issues we face as a culture, but with joy, with hope, and with an eternal perspective where our faith collides with everyday life, bringing eternal principles to help us live our life joyfully.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timmeri on Relevant Radio.
Everywhere except for the United States seems to be up to snuff when it comes to the latest data and research, peer-reviewed, unanimous, over and over again, showing that there's no good, clear evidence for transitioning children, for transitioning babies, adolescents, teenagers, into a self-proclaimed identity, something than other than what they biologically are. Now, the debate ensues with even popular everything from artists, actors, actresses, and authors such as J.K. Rowling weighing in. In fact, there are public spews occurring between author J.K. Rowling of the Harry Potter series and two of the main stars from the series that was done, Daniel Radcliffe and Emma Watson. I'll share a little bit about it later. More so, what does the church teach about gender? And what's the key takeaway? Has the church changed its teaching on the gender issue? Can it change its teaching? What's the take and why should we listen to it? Well, stay with me in just a little bit as we dive in. Right now, we're seeing on the front of life, since the Roe versus Wade decision was overturned with Dobbs versus Jackson 2 years ago now, there's been a state-to-state battle over what the law will be in each state. My state of California, your state, whether it's Colorado, Virginia, Arkansas, wherever it is, the abortion culture looks radically different from state to state. Some states being sanctuary states where people are literally being paid to come across border lines and have their abortions, and others where we're seeing illegal abortions sent, chemical abortions sent over state lines. Much is to be said. And so here on Trending, we're taking the approach of diving into what's happening in each state. Today, we'll take a look into the state of Virginia. Also, Planned Parenthood has just released an annual report looking at statistics for the 2023 year. So we'll dive into that together here on Trending. Joining me now is Hugh Brown. He's the Executive Vice President of American Life League, who's both on the front line of the pro-life front, fighting for women, fighting for children, but also Hugh Brown, who lives in the state of Virginia and will give us in just a little bit a keen take into the front line of what's happening in Virginia with regard to abortion. Hugh, welcome back to Trending.
Thank you, Timmeri, for having me.
You and I were discussing earlier today that Planned Parenthood has just released their annual report with statistics indicating, my daughter's in the background playing her little toy books in the background and reading, with Planned Parenthood reporting statistics showing that abortions are up in terms of the number of abortions they are participating in. Now, we know that they are not required to report how many chemical abortions are occurring or even many states. But what's startling is that everything from funding to the number of babies who have been aborted has increased. And I'd be interested to hear your thoughts and some of the numbers here.
Sure. Well, I think you just said the most important part, right? They're not required to report on many things. And so I mean, I don't even know that it's appropriate to use the term, but we have to take these reports with a grain of salt because you also have to understand that you're trusting numbers from a multi-billion dollar corporation that makes its money off of killing human beings and then selling their body parts. So, you know, if you think that anything that they tell you is trustworthy, you are naive. You know, that being said, you know, they reported for the last year that abortions were up from year to year by almost 6%. They killed 374,000 people 2 years ago. Last year, they killed just shy of 400,000. They had 2.1 million patients in 21-22, and they had the nice round number of 2.5 million patients in 2022-23. I mean, just that is an example, right? I mean, the statistical probability of having exactly 2.5 million patients is probably astronomical. So again, they round either up or down for whatever their purposes are. And I would argue that they don't have anything to fear, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, our president has embraced them fully. He has sent his vice president for the first time in the history of this country into an abortion clinic to tout, you know, reproductive justice and all the other deceptive language that they use. And I think that the Democratic Party and some Republicans are thrilled with the fact that this is happening, that Roe versus Wade was defeated and it's back into the states, because they're able to convince people that there's some barbaric effort underway to harm women, to eliminate the right to save women in the event, God forbid, their pregnancy is going to kill them, which doesn't happen, which hasn't happened, you know, probably in this the last 100 years with technology. And people are just as simple as believing them and then overlooking all the other evils in this country and all the other wrongs, and keeping a party in power that is bent on death. I mean, I don't know if you, someone sent me a link this morning from LifeSite News, where they transcribed and actually showed the clip of Bill Maher, who said that, you know, abortion is murder. Of course it's murder. And he respects people that are what he calls absolutists, because it doesn't matter if it's 1 week or 12 weeks or 16 weeks. He said, that's insane. We support murdering children. And he said, I'm okay with that. And he said, we just have to embrace murdering children, because there's 8 billion people on the planet. And he said, I'm not going to miss them anyway. So there's the truth, right? If nothing else, Bill Maher tells the truth. And we appreciate the honesty. As evil as it is, that's what we're up against.
And it shows the level of detachment that human beings have today, that they say, yes, we recognize it's killing a baby, but we're okay with that. I don't know them, not my monkey, not my circus. And that's a phrase that should maybe be said for things that are out of our sphere of concern, but never when it comes to human life, that all of us have a responsibility to stand up for and protect.
Well, I mean, clearly, just what in the last few years with the coronavirus and all of the things that were horribly wrong with that, and the fact that no one wants to talk about where it actually came from, or all of the misclassifications of deaths because it's politically inconvenient. We don't want to demonize one party. And with abortion underlying all of that, clearly we live in a time where, at least in the media and in the public sphere, death is okay, right? We just don't want certain people to look bad, and we're willing to look past almost anything. And that's concerning. You know, there is hope, though, right? I mean, our the Holy Father in the Catholic Church, our Pope, has been characterized as one thing or another. But, you know, he released a document recently that was outstanding in defining what gender truly is, on what the Church truly teaches, on the evils of abortion. And that hasn't gotten any play in the media. And of course it wouldn't. But he gives a 4-second, you know, interview on an airplane. It says something that maybe is confusing, and that's all people talk about. So there is hope. And I thought, before coming on with you, if I can encourage people to do one thing, it would be this. You know, there, I read another article today from NPR that said Catholics in the U.S., one of the country's largest single Christian groups, hold diverse views. But then 6 in 10 U.S. adult Catholics, people that say they're practicing Catholics, say abortion should be legal in all or most cases. Now, is that true? I mean, I can tell you in my parish, I mean, I don't know everybody. I've been in the same church for 30 years. I can count on one hand that the times that we've heard about abortion, right? It's just priests talk about it. We have a wonderful priest. It's just not something that is comfortable. And I would encourage everyone listening to talk to your priest and encourage them to speak about these things. They've got to give homilies on the sanctity of human life and our responsibility. Our souls are dependent upon it. The souls of our children, the souls of our neighbors. We have got to reclaim the culture. And courage has to come from somewhere. Because just looking at these numbers from Planned Parenthood, it's staggering. I mean, the 400,000 people they killed. And that's if we trust their numbers.
Right, right. And you said something, I think, of a moment ago that's just irks me. Having worked on the front line in the pregnancy resource centers with these women as young as 12 years old that I saw face to face and going into the late 40s, who they were seeking out solutions whether they thought the solution was abortion or they thought the solution was needing funding or relationship advice, but they are the ones who are uncomfortable in a culture that says you kill your baby. So for us to say we're not comfortable talking about abortion, well, you know what? We've driven these women to the abortion clinics because of that. We've driven women to the internal shame of having had an abortion because we've said this is normal. And when I read these statistics to you from Planned Parenthood for their annual report showing that they're performing more and more abortions on the rise every single year, even after Roe versus Wade has been overturned, it's upsetting because it shows that we continue to drive women into the arms of uncomfortable situations because we are uncomfortable telling the truth. And even just looking at some of this data, they even show, based on what Planned Parenthood is reporting, and again, it's a matter of what they want us to see, that they've had a rise in the number of pregnancy tests that they're doing. A good amount of increase in women seeking pregnancy tests, along with a decent rise in women, I think actually almost a 6% rise in the number of women seeking out treatments for basic things surrounding STDs and others. And I'm sorry, that was a 3% rise. But what it says is if more women are looking for STD treatment by 3% than the year before, if more women are looking for pregnancy tests, it's showing that women are not being told the truth about their bodies or the truth about resources to value themselves and their children and to wait for good timing for them that protects their bodies from STDs and protects them from unplanned pregnancy.
No, amen. Amen. And Planned Parenthood has, you know, also reported that I think it's the highest number I've ever seen. Now, we'd have to go back a long, long time. But they raised in fundraising essentially almost $1 billion, just a hair under $1 billion, and normally it's about $600 to $700 million, which is still a staggering number, and that doesn't include the record $700 million they were given in tax dollars. How do they invest this money? Well, it's not just in killing, right? But it's coordinating the killing. They reported that a number of their affiliates, navigators, right? They have 90 patient navigators across 41 Planned Parenthood facilities that help get 33,000 people transportation, travel support, financial assistance, rooms, meals, to get their abortions in a state where perhaps they could not, where their home state didn't offer abortion. And they're dominating the internet. So they're using artificial intelligence. They report over 604,000 unique sessions with their robotic chatbot. Almost 200 million people visited their website. And they've worked with 28 social media influencers promoting Planned Parenthood's presence with almost 35 million followers and hundreds of millions of views. So they are intentional. That is what we are up against. Here at the American Life League, we just announced my 27-year-old daughter is taking over the policy and some of the speaking representation for the organization, because we've got to be able to speak to young women. And she's got a whole lot of ideas where we can, I hate to use the word, but we can attack that space. And as you just said, give them solutions. Because if they're at 2 o'clock in the morning, right, you found out you're pregnant and you're a young girl's up all night, and 2 o'clock in the morning, 5, 6, 7, 8 days later, she's on her phone looking for solutions. All she's finding is death. And people encourage her into death. I celebrate my abortion. I've seen the t-shirts, right? And so we've got to be better in that space. And yeah, we're outfunded 100 to 1. So be it. And I tell people all the time, stop talking to me about money. You know, when the apostles asked Christ about money, he sent them down to grab a fish and open the fish's mouth, and there was the coin. That's what Christ thinks about money, right? What he wants is our time, our effort, and our dedication. And we've got to be better. And again, I keep coming back. We've got to encourage our priests to talk about it. We've got to do things like this and talk about it. We have to have posts where we talk about it, because we have to help save lives. You know, Abby Johnson's done a great job at getting people out of that industry. I'm sure there's more that want to come out. We have to collaborate. We have to work. We have to try to take them down, not just from the outside, but from the inside. You know, we know how the story ends. You know, we win this battle. But you know what? It's this little consolation when you know that Planned Parenthood's killing 400,000 people a year, and that's just what they report.
And what statistic would it take?
We're losing people.
Right. And what statistic would it take for you to see to do something? I think that's what's hard is people hear these numbers and say, okay, 400,000 people. And those are just the abortions being performed annually by Planned Parenthood. Those aren't the other private or smaller organizations that are focused on running businesses to kill babies. And I think that's my challenge, and that's part of what I want to dive into a little bit here with you on Trending is what's happening on the front line in Virginia, because we want to take a look state to state to say, what is the big picture of what's happening in my state, and then how do I get involved? Because whether you're in California, Virginia, Texas, Michigan, you name it, we need to understand that the abortion culture is a little different in each state right now. The laws are different, and where we focus our time is a little different based on whether we need to fight public policy, and we need people in all areas, but I think it's important to take a look. So today we're starting this trend of looking at each state and how we can get involved. So Hugh, you live right now in the state of Virginia, and we know as the laws have been moving forward that abortion is legal till 27 weeks with a very liberal exception after that 27 weeks. It really gives an out for any reason whatsoever. It claims that an abortion can be performed for, quote, the mother's health, including her mental health, and to, quote, save the life of the mother. But here's the problem, and I'll just be really clear. I'm not going to dive down this today, but there's no reason to have an abortion to intentionally kill one person so that the other can live in the case of a mother's life. You might deliver a child early, but you do not need to put on the conscience of a doctor, a nurse, any physician, or especially the mother and father that they had to kill their baby to save another life. When early delivery occurs, that might mean that a baby might not be able to survive outside of the womb, or maybe they could, depending on how long you wait. I know of heroic women. I can think of one in particular who is a huge fan of this show. Her name is Maria. She forewent medical treatment for cancer until her baby was early enough to be delivered prematurely. And she respected her child and delivered early rather than intentionally killing the little boy. So joining me now again is Hugh Brown. He's the executive vice president of American Life League. Hugh, what is the current landscape in Virginia when it comes to abortion?
Well, I think it's important to understand part of what you just said. Understanding meaning when you talk about abortion is legal in Virginia up to 27 weeks, except for the life of the mother, the mother's mental health. Lila Rose, when she first got started, and some other very heroic people, exposed the fact that Planned Parenthood, when they are talking to young women, they will say things such as, does this pregnancy, you know, has it caused you emotional stress? Yes. Do your parents know? No. You know, and are you fearful that you might harm yourself? That's all they ask. Yes. And all they have to do is say yes to that, and that's the life of the mother. And you can kill a baby at 39 weeks. Okay, so that's how it's going in Virginia. And here's the other thing, Timory. So yes, Virginia has legal abortion up to 27 weeks. Who determines the gestation period? Planned Parenthood? You know, the local provider in the neighborhood, like the Gosnell guy from Philadelphia that murdered, you know, thousands of people in his own neighborhood for two decades? Who determines that? Right? It's supposed to be self-reported. So human trafficking, the destruction of life, the destruction of young women is happening at a rampant pace. And here in Virginia, we're no different. I don't think we're any better than any other state that allows abortion. Because when you say 27 weeks, I mean, you know, you've had children. My wife delivered babies as early as 34 weeks. I mean, there are human beings on the planet today that were born at 27 weeks. Lots of them. Yes. And so here in Virginia, I think what we've learned is this. In Virginia, again, I always say elections, it just makes me so upset that Republicans are so weak. The Democrats, they're all in on this subject, even to the point that they have the information we sent you didn't include the fact that there was a bill that was not vetoed by the governor that said that contraception and abortion services must be provided, you know, by employers in the state of Virginia. Mm. Right. And so we haven't received that yet in the mail. I can tell you when we do. Good luck to them, because we will sue them and defeat. I'll fight that till I stop breathing, because that's already been defeated at the Supreme Court. But the point is, that's the lust that legislators have. So my message is, elections do matter, right? Mm-hmm. There's plenty of Republicans that are not pro-life, but I'll tell you what, it's good luck finding a Democrat that is not on board with this, because that's how their party believes. Yeah. So here in Virginia, we've seen a 10% increase this past year in abortions.
Wow.
Right? Are we a sanctuary state? No, but people are coming from other places. Mm-hmm. And you know, we just, again, to, in order to, I think in order to help fight and negate this locally, yes, it's important to support your local pregnancy help centers. It's important to have your priests and pastors talk about these things. A lot of the pregnancy help centers I know are right outside of college campuses. It's important to support your local Catholic high schools that have ministries. It's important to support on college campuses, pro-life ministries. A lot of the Catholic student centers have a pro-life arm. It's important to support those things. If I'm here in Fredericksburg. If you live in Fredericksburg, Virginia, Mary Washington was the first quote unquote university in America to have a homosexual / transgender dormitory. I know some outstanding Catholic kids that have come out of there. I used to say you couldn't pay me $100 billion to send my kids there. Well, as parents, one of the things you need to do is look at, you know, the student life and the things that are in your the future for your children when you decide where they're going to go to college, but also understand the Catholic entities that support that university. Because in many times, I even know kids from our local high school, Catholic high school here, that have gone to the University of Virginia that's also beyond liberal. But I'll tell you what, one of our students who graduated from our Catholic high school took vows and is now a nun, but she was connected to an Opus Dei house that was there. So I only say that because in Virginia, that's how we think. We've got the universities are important. The high schools are important. Talking to young people is important. Again, what was put on my heart today to share is talk to our pastors, which I'm going to do, and encourage them to talk about these things. Because if we know we have their support, then maybe, just maybe, I'm sure you've had many instances in your life, Timory, where you find out after the fact, I spoke to someone, and then you find out years later or at some point later, my gosh, that helped influence them and they kept their baby. Yes, or yes. Someone in their family kept their baby. Mm-hmm. Those stories are real, right? Those people are human beings. They're alive today. So even things talking about it like right now on your radio show, hopefully somebody hears this and is empowered to talk about it at your own dinner table. Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned I'm a football coach. That's what I tell my young men. Talk about these things in at home. Talk about them with your friends. Stop trying to fit into the culture. You know, if we don't make the stand, people are going to continue to die. And, you know, if we didn't have Governor Youngkin, I mean, you know, the last guy, Northam, right? He was the guy that said, we're going to deliver a baby and then decide what to do about it. And the world yawned, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they're just, the baby's alive, but, you know, it was not supposed to be here. We're going to kill it. Are we not? That's how they think that somehow that's compassionate. Yes, we have to pray for them, but there are some cold, hard hearts out there. And we've got to continue to fight the good fight and oppose these people because they are bent on death. And in Virginia, that's what we're up against. God bless our governor. I mean, people say he's not pro-life enough. I'm like, listen, we're up against it. And if we didn't have him right now, we'd probably be like New York and have abortion up until birth. And you can get arrested outside of an abortion clinic for, mm-hmm. which I think, you know, just happened in Pennsylvania to that poor guy last year for defending his son, and have the full force of the federal government come after you. So it's important that we stay very active and involved. And no, there might be people listening to you right now that are in a state, they have no idea what their laws are.
Yeah.
You have a responsibility to learn.
Yeah. And I think that's something I'd like to dive into in a little bit, because for people to understand, how do you find out what your local law is? How can you get involved? You've mentioned a lot of ways, whether it be knowing what universities have pro-life clubs, whether it's knowing what your local pregnancy resource center is. But you've given the view that abortion is a little different in each state. In Virginia, as you mentioned, a 10% increase in abortion in the last year in the state of Virginia, with it being legal up to 27 weeks, with really pretty much exceptions being handed out any time after 27 weeks for any argument regarding the health of the mother. And not that we aren't pro-health of mom, but we're pro not giving mom the medical impact of abortion, the aftermath, and also not giving her the mental health crisis after, because abortion solves no mental health crisis and it solves no medical condition, because a child can always be delivered early if necessity requires. And we've talked to some of the best pro-life OBGYNs and delivery doctors in the nation. They share over and over again, they not once were required to perform an abortion in order to fight for and save a mother's life. Early delivery, perhaps, but never killing a baby. That's been Hugh Brown here on Trending with Timory. He's the executive vice president of American Life League, who's on the front line of the pro-life fight to protect women and babies. He's also given us a glimpse into what's happening in Virginia. We'll be right back sharing more ways you can get involved in the pro-life fight in your state. If you have missed part of this episode or want to catch the podcast later, just head over to relevantradio.com/trending or catch us on the Relevant Radio app. We'll be right back.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Relevant Radio is looking for parish ambassadors, volunteers who can spread the word about Relevant Radio at their parish. I've met some of you, and I'm so grateful for the work that you're doing. It only takes about an hour a month, and we will connect you with fellow ambassadors, our team, and resources to share our message here at Relevant Radio. Sign up to become a parish ambassador today at relevantradio.com/ambassador. That's relevantradio.com/ambassador. And thank you if you've been involved in helping to spread the good news of Jesus through the work we're doing here at Relevant Radio. Joining me now is Hugh Brown, the Executive Vice President of American Life League. They're on the front line of the pro-life movement. You can find their work at ALL.org. That's ALL.org. We're just discussing the state, the home state of Hugh Brown, Virginia, and what the current law and landscape is. I was actually really glad to hear that your governor there just last week said no to protecting, and this is ridiculous, but should I say hiding abortion malpractice, hiding abortionists who have done barbaric things to damage women's bodies and kill babies in horrific ways. And it was encouraging to hear, Hugh, because it showed that the pro-life voices in Virginia are having a great influence there in your state, that you guys are working very hard, even in the face of very pro-abortion laws there and permissiveness for abortion, pretty much all cases. I know it's up to 27 weeks, but it really gives it pretty liberal exceptions after that. And it was encouraging because here we have these terrible abortionists who are hurting women, killing them on the operating table, it being covered up, and then they run to another state and hide and try to practice medicine other places. We've heard barbaric cases of their medical license not being taken away because people with money in the pro-abortion movement come and bail them out. And so to see that this was something rejected by your governor in Virginia was encouraging, protecting women there in the state and across the nation. Now, I would love to hear from you. You guys are on the front line there in Virginia. What are some of your initiatives right now to protect life that people can get involved in your particular state?
Sure. Well, I think it's first important to understand a couple of things, right? The bills that he rejected are beyond the evil that you described. It's more insidious than that, right? The same couple of people that keep proposing these things, you have to understand what they're trying to do, right? It wasn't just allowing out-of-state abortionists, but also abortion entities, right? So what does that mean? Perhaps a Planned Parenthood, perhaps an abortion facility, to seek some type of shelter in our state for disregarding their abortion laws. Now, that's blatantly illegal, right? You can't kill somebody in Maryland and then come to Virginia and say, well, they're allowed to kill people here, so I'm fine. I mean, the thought process itself shows you what we're up against. And these bills are proposed relentlessly, right? The one that I mentioned earlier about the making us pay for contraception and abortion services if you're an employer in Virginia, they just never, ever stop, right? They also want to be able to prescribe abortion pills from Virginia into states that don't allow them and have no consequence. They're just making laws and trying to make immoral decisions that they have no right to make, and things that are blatantly illegal. So what we're doing here in Virginia is supporting our governor. We're supporting legislators. We are supporting the grassroots movement in different neighborhoods. Again, find the organizations in your state. We have some really good ones here. There are different associations. There are different groups. There are different pregnancy help centers. There are different legislators. You know, even though the American Life League, we're not 501c3. We're not openly promoting candidates. Well, we certainly promote policies, and we certainly promote efforts, and we certainly promote the efforts of good people to save lives. So the best thing, again, you can do in your state is what we're doing here. which is find out, partner with the people that are on the front line, that are fighting the good fight. A lot of the pregnancy help centers, or let me put it this way, a lot of the sidewalk counselors are not necessary. That is a very noble thing to do, support them, yes. But a lot of the fight now has gone online because there are pills being prescribed over the internet. You have a face-to-face Zoom call on the internet. Who knows who you're talking to? Who knows? I mean, you could be talking to a woman who is part of a trafficking organization where young women are being raped and marketed by greedy, horrible, soulless human beings. Yeah. And this woman says, I'm 10 weeks pregnant, and they ship pills. It is just an absolutely evil that we are up against. So I know it can feel overwhelming. So what can you do? Well, number one, let's start with what we're required to do as Christians and as Catholics and Christians. You've got to start every Sunday at Mass, right? I know people that complain and then tell me they haven't been to church in 15 years. Well, you're not right, right? You've got to get right with God. And I'm not throwing a stone, but you've got to get right with God. And as you get right with God, and if you're already right with God, then you've got to delve into your state. You have to take personal responsibility. Right here in Virginia, one of the original 13 colonies, these people went to war, right, with the equivalent, you know, the English Army, I hate to say it, which was the equivalent of today's Democratic Party. People that were just tyrants, tyranny, doing everything humanly possible to destroy the fabric of what those people believed in and stood for. And I'm not suggesting a revolution, but what I am suggesting is you've got to make a stand in your own state. Because if you're not going to do it, as I say all the time, you can't wait for someone else. If you're thinking about it, you're listening to us talk about it, God has put you there for a reason. You've got to have the courage to actually do something. And that's the apathy that I think has allowed us to be where we are. Right? For 50 years, Joe Biden, he was 1972 is when he first elected to the Congress. Then he was a senator. Now he's United States president. You know, name any public correction from a bishop. You can't find one, right? There was a priest in South Carolina that said, you're not going to receive communion in my parish. That's it. So as Catholics, we look at these things. Of course, it expands from abortion to the transgender nonsense, to abortion pills, to now killing kids after they're born if they want to make a different decision while we consider it. There is no end to this when there is no accountability. And as Catholics, I think, you know, in Christ's church, in the church put here by God himself, we have got to take the lead. And it's not enough just to read letters and read magazines and support organizations financially and pray. All that stuff is important, but you've got to take a stand in your own community. You've got to take a stand in your own state. Again, find out the organizations. It's not hard online. You can find out anything. You could go to your state's website, you know, the virginia.gov. You can go to northcarolina.gov, california.gov. Google it. It'll show you. Look at the laws that are being proposed and already exist. And then talk to people, make phone calls, write letters, get your neighbors outraged. Because if we don't take a stand, this is only going to get worse. Our children are going to inherit something where, like in China, they're only allowed to have one kid. I mean, just that's where this is. Abortion is demonic. It's child demonic blood sacrifice. You can't call it anything else. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. And here we are, you know, talking about it. Most people just don't care. They'd rather focus on something else, and they've got to wake up.
And I think that's what's hard is at what point do you say, okay, I need to do something? We were walking through Planned Parenthood's annual report here with Hugh Brown, the executive vice president of American Life League. And, you know, you're explaining these numbers and how the numbers increase, the number of babies. At what point do we wake up? And so I'm challenging you, do something. This is why we're going to feature each state here on Trending. What's happening on the front line? How can you get involved? And maybe you're not in Virginia, but this gives you an idea of whether it's getting involved legislatively, knowing what your laws are, going in, encouraging your and supporting your pro-life representatives, challenging and questioning your pro-abortion representatives, because I'll tell you, it makes a difference. I have seen bills not pass. I have seen bills removed from the legislature because people have helped to open their eyes to the truth of how barbaric and damaging these proposed laws are. So that's Hugh Brown here on Trending. Hugh, you mentioned when we were discussing everything from the Planned Parenthood report to the 10% increase in abortion there in the state of Virginia. Some of the things that stood out to me was that with the 10% increase in abortions there in Virginia, and with the $1 billion that Planned Parenthood was able to fundraise last year, and this is just fundraising alone, not the over 700 that they received in funding for whatever they want to do, including killing babies. I'm just astounded because what continues to be the tactic of Planned Parenthood is fear. They use fear to fundraise. They use fear to drive women to have abortions earlier and earlier. So as you mentioned, so that the pregnancy counseling centers and the sidewalk counselors have a difficult time reaching these women. And this is how they've been able to drive up the number of abortions that are occurring. And so the resounding thing I hear that all of us need to do is to help provide hope for people who are pregnant. And so my challenge is, how can you do that? Is it by helping to change the law in your area? Is it by getting involved in knowing what American Life League is doing in Virginia and across the nation, or maybe the local pregnancy center? I think that hope is what we need to be providing to women, not laws that say just kill your baby at any time you want.
Oh, amen. Amen. And so that's a great challenge. So one thing people can do, because Planned Parenthood, again, is so, and not just Planned Parenthood, right? There are other abortion providers. Planned Parenthood is the evil empire, and they've been allowed to do so. So the very first thing you can do is contact your legislator, and you can tell them to have courage. If they're one of these pro-death, you know, they support abortion at all costs, just send them information. Relentlessly send them information. Send them statistics. I mean, you've got to, and then support people that are pro-life. Because I found this, when someone is going to support abortion, what won't they support? Mm-hmm. Right, a kid, you've got a four-year-old, Timory, and they want to have that parent wants to take that four-year-old and have him chemically castrated. Why would I oppose that? Why would I oppose the legalization of drugs? Why would I oppose why would I oppose three people getting married? Why would I oppose a son marrying his mom? Who cares? That's what abortion is. Abortion is the ultimate evil, right? And we've lost, my gosh, if you include contraception, I mean, a couple hundred million people in this country. And God, his justice and his mercy, he has allowed us to continue to fight this fight. But this country has been blessed, and this country has done nothing but turn its back on God and then embrace evil. And so, yes, you can contact your legislators, but do you, if you're sitting here listening to this, do you know what the closest university is to you in your state? Find that out. And then just find out, do they have a pro-life club? Do they have a Catholic student center? Support them. You know, send them $50. Help them fight the good fight. Because as Timory and I discussed earlier, as you and I discussed earlier, there are, we all have examples of where we find out, you know, at some point in the future, we talked to someone, we gave whatever advice we gave, and you find out that there's a human being on the planet now because an abortion was not had.
Yes.
And so that stuff matters. Maybe that's the young person that turns all this around, right? But we've got to have what God creates. It's procreation for a reason. It's a man, a woman, and it's God. Yeah. And that life, you know, is imbued with an internal soul, and we have to wake people up to the value of life. And we see it in culture. I can't even watch things on the internet or TV anymore. It's all violence. It's all death. It's young people killing each other. It's young people assaulting elderly people. It's just, we have lost our way here. And we've got, if we don't do something again, nothing's going to change. There is no Calvary. There is no, you know, I'm a big Lord of the Rings fan. There's no secret army coming over the hill to save us. It's us. Mm-hmm. It's us. God's put us here. We've got to fight this fight. And actually do a little something every day, even if it's prayer. Just get involved in your community. Get involved in your parish. In American Life League, I can't tell you how many parishes we have that are pro-life. Dozens and dozens and dozens. They contact us daily. We support them all.
And I think that's a really important place to start, that you're praying, how can I impact those already in my current life to have the courage to say the words that need to be said, to help impact or plant a seed on their position or help them if they're navigating a challenging pregnancy. And you shared something earlier that really stood out to me of how, yes, their lives, you have no idea, that are being saved a year from now, 2 years from now, today, just because you had that conversation, telling the truth, sharing the truth on social media, standing in front of that abortion clinic, volunteering at that pregnancy center. So I encourage you, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in encountering those who you already have the ability to, but in other ways you might be able to serve. That's Hugh Brown, the Executive Vice President of American Life League. You can find them and their frontline work in the pro-life movement at ALL.org. A great way to stay up to date on what's happening in the pro-life movement nationally as well as in Virginia. Hugh, thank you for joining me and for the work you're doing. If you didn't catch the episode earlier, we dove into the latest annual report recently out from Planned Parenthood showing their increase in the number of abortions they performed and the number of clients they're seeing and the increase in the number of sexually transmitted diseases, pregnancy tests. We need to do something about it. We need to show hope to a culture of young women who have been indoctrinated into believing fear is what will lead them to run for an abortion. We need to help them see that hope is the way to live, the way to choose how to navigate their choices and how to choose life for them both before they get pregnant and when they do. Again, find Hugh Brown at American Life League. That's ALL.org. I'll be right back diving into what the church teaches on gender as J.K. Rowling, author of the Harry Potter series, takes shots at actor and actresses Daniel Radcliffe and Emma Watson as the fight over gender continues. We'll be right back.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
I'm amazed by the fact that California and the United States continue to be on the forefront of doing science experiments that are literally mutilating the genitals of children's bodies, thwarting and preventing puberty from ever occurring, while the rest of the country is sitting here saying, we're not performing sex changes, whatever you want to call them, gender-affirming surgery. I'll just call it bodily mutilation and castration, because that's what it is. Other countries are stopping it. They're not doing it for children, any minors anymore, many places. And yet we ignore it. The peer-reviewed data, the research, the conclusive evidence showing key things. And we just had another report come out. This was a report that was commissioned by Britain's National Health Services. It was an independent review by pediatrician Dr. Hilary Cass. This isn't the first of its kind, but it's one of many. And it shows numerous things. We'll dive more into the research another day, but two things in particular I want to highlight. And this is a resounding report that we see time and time again from this data, internationally peer-reviewed, and why countries are ceasing any cross-sex hormones and any bodily mutilation surgery for children. Number one, there's no good evidence in favor of transitioning children. And two, it does permanent lifelong damage, which, by the way, kids can't consent to, such as being able to never have children or never being able to nurse your child. That's the story of Chloe Cole. She's one of many known as a detransitioner. Detransitioners are those brave young boys and girls who were pressured by a medical community and bad therapists in their schools to transition into the opposite sex, mutilating their body, damaging their very biochemical makeup. And Chloe Cole transitioned. She was identifying as a boy, and then 1 year, her senior year of high school, during COVID, she's struggling in school because of the transition. She's struggling because of the social isolation, and she's in a different school program to try and help her thrive, and thank God she did, because here's what happened. She's taking a childhood development class in this new school program in high school, and she learns about the benefits of nursing for mom and baby, and it hits her right between the eyes that all of the things that countless surgeons, therapists, physicians, endocrinologists did to transition her body, she would never be able to nurse her baby potentially. She might not even be able to have children because they thwarted the natural course of puberty and the development of her body to be able to conceive and carry children. They thwarted and damaged her ability to enjoy the gift of intimacy between a man and a woman. They have totally damaged her body for life. And she's one of many who have shared their story here on Trending. I'm going to link to it. Why do I share all of this? Well, because other countries are saying no more to these experiments on children, while the United States continues to do it in droves. Account after account on social media shows me the transition of these little girls and little boys. There's a surgeon I follow in Florida where they are mutilating kids' bodies and then posting images of minors on social media after they've gone through with everything from chopping off the top half of their body to the bottom half of their body. It is so sad. Now, some of the debate socially and publicly is really intriguing because I hope we all have the courage to tell the truth. Boys are boys, girls are girls, and when you try to make so with hormones and bodily castration or plastic reconstructive surgery, it doesn't help anything. Ollie London is another detransitioner who shared his story. He wasn't just identifying as transgender, but as cross-racial, and he had over 100 plastic reconstructive surgeries. Guess what? They never made him happy. He'll never be able to go back to his beautiful boyhood face. He's damaged forever in that respect. But praise God, he walked into a Catholic church and it was the catalyst of transformation for him. Another story, we're going to link to some of these interviews I've done here on Trending because you need to hear from these kids, now young adults, who are fighting and telling the truth after adults, professionals, and so-called experts have damaged their bodies. So here's the debate that's going on, and I've been really intrigued by one person, that is J.K. Rowling, who's the author of the Harry Potter series, along with other books as well, but well-known for her Harry Potter series. She continues to post on social media, counterculturally to the very pro-trans agenda that people hold to in there in London, there in England, just as we do here. Now, she continues to share things such as this pediatrician, Dr. Hillary Cass's report, which, as I mentioned earlier, was an independent review report, peer-reviewed, commissioned by Britain's National Health Services. It just came out a couple weeks ago. And J.K. Rowling emphasized, there's no good evidence in favor of transitioning for minors, and it does permanent damage. Sterilizing kids, thwarting and damaging puberty, and the natural development of the brain and internal body parts, as well as external. And she's calling it out on social media. I was reading one of her posts earlier, and it's so true. She said, speaking of this report, she said, the most robust review of the medical evidence for transitioning children that's ever been conducted. She's showing the medical evidence that she's just read that there's no reason to medically transition children. It's not even a medical transition. It's experimental and damaging so-called treatment. She then goes on to say this, if I sound angry, it's because I'm bloody angry. We're in America, so it's not cursing, right? We'll say bloomin' angry. She said, I read, that is, doctor and pediatrician Hillary Cass's report this morning, and my anger has been mounting all day. Should kids have been irreversibly harmed? And thousands are complicit, not just medics, but the celebrity mouthpieces, unquestioning media, and cynical corporations. She's called out publicly. The celebrity Hollywood, those people who are being paid to push these trans identities, being pushed to be major advocates, and two of whom include Harry Potter stars, Harry Potter actor Daniel Radcliffe and Hermione Granger actress Emma Watson, who are some of the loudest people in favor of the whole LGBTQ movement, telling lies to their young people that they are influencing in the culture today. Now, it was interesting because one ex-user, when responding to the Dr. Hillary Cass report, the pediatrician who published all the most recent data from Britain's National Health Services, where, by the way, everywhere outside of the United States is cracking down on the so-called transition and hormonal intervention for children because they know there's no evidence that it's favorable or helpful for kids, and it does permanent damage. So when J.K. Rowling's posting about this on social media, one Twitter X user, whatever you want to call it, says they're waiting for Dan and Emma, that is Daniel Radcliffe and Emma Watson, the two actors and actresses from the Harry Potter movie, they're waiting for them to publicly apologize, that is, for all they've done to push the trans agenda on children and adults. And it was kind of funny because J.K. Rowling responds and she says, basically, No, they're not safe to just come and apologize and me forgive them. Because she said celebrities who cozied up to a movement intent on eroding women's hard-won rights and who use their platforms to cheer on the transitioning of minors can save their apologies for the traumatized detransitioners and vulnerable women reliant on single-sex spaces. So what Rowling said is, no, I'm not just accepting an apology. If someone wants to apologize and say, oops, the data is in another direction, and I guess I'll go along with the truth. No, because these celebrities won't even do that. But she's saying, don't apologize to me. And this is my challenge to you. If you're in favor of all this pro-transgender content, even for kids and the transitioning, it's not fair to say, oh, I was wrong, look at the data. What we're doing today is an experiment that we know there's no evidence for and that is permanently damaging mind, body, and soul. And so we need to be sure to understand that the evidence is conclusive. The agenda ignores the truth, and it's at the detriment of children. And we need to come to embrace a Christian anthropology that doesn't change in the face of technology, medical advancement, or any trend of an era. And so I'm grateful for voices such as J.K. Rowling and others who are speaking up and telling the truth about male and female. This is Tim Rhee from Trending with Tim Rhee. Thursday, I'll be joined by Dr. Nicholas Carderis. He's a leading psychologist, neurospecialist, Ivy League educated, and he's on the front line and respected internationally for the work he's doing treating and researching the damage done by the overuse of technology. We'll dive into solutions and 5 ways to help teens find happiness, naturally reduce screen time, and much more. So join me 6 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio or the Relevant Radio app.